Last Sunday, we heard the story about Jesus' temptations in the wilderness. And specifically, we focused in on the first temptation, the first temptation that encountered Jesus in the wilderness while he was fasting and praying to prepare for the beginning of the ministry that God had given him. And not a crumb had passed his lips for 40 days and 40 nights during this period of fasting and preparation. And at the moment when he was most vulnerable to temptation, particularly temptation of hunger, of food, a temptation that we all know and can understand, at that moment of greatest vulnerability and of least possible resistance, Satan comes to him to tempt him. To tempt him to take one of those stones that was lying on the ground around him, to take one of those rocks and to transform it into a loaf of bread. It was a temptation that was real. It was a temptation that was possible for Jesus because he, as the Son of God, had it within his power and his ability to transform a rock into a loaf of bread and to satiate his hunger. Hence, it was a real temptation for him to do this. And if you examine the passage closely, as we did last Sunday, you'll come to understand that this was a temptation, a specific temptation, because it would have meant he was trusting in himself and in his own power and ability and not in God directly. He would have been thwarting the time of preparation, fasting, and prayer that he had been given to undertake during those 40 days. He would have been thwarting God's will at that time for him. And he would have been trusting not in God, not in the Scripture, not in the Word of God and the will of God for his life, but in his own ability as the Son of God to transform a rock into a loaf of bread. And therefore, it would have been a temptation, just as it is a temptation for us when we are undergoing trials and tribulations, to do what we can by our own power and our own ability, without turning to the will and the Word of God, without turning to our brothers and sisters in Christ, without turning to the sacraments, without turning to the many means of grace. When we depend entirely and totally and completely and exclusively on ourselves and not upon God to see it through the difficult times of life, we are falling to the first temptation. The temptation not to trust in God, but to trust in self. The second temptation today follows closely on the heels of the first temptation. Now, in Matthew's gospel, the second temptation is listed third. And the third temptation from Luke's gospel is listed second. But today we're looking at the rendition in Luke's gospel. And the second temptation in Luke's gospel is that Satan takes him up on a high mountain and shows him the entire world, the kingdoms of this world, the powers of this world, and all the people of this world over whom Satan has authority, control, and power. And he says, Jesus, I will give you all that you see, my entire realm, everything I have authority and power over, I will give it to you. And all you have to do is worship me. Now, unlike the first temptation, which took some consideration to understand how this was a temptation for Jesus, this one, the temptation here, stands out on its face. It's unmistakable. This is indeed a temptation to sin. Satan is telling Jesus, to get power and authority over the world, a power and authority I have, all you have to do is worship me. That's a temptation. Why? Because what Jesus has to do, and he knows it, is he needs to preach the gospel, be the presence of God in the world, then be betrayed and arrested and tried and crucified and die and then raised in order to accomplish that will of God and to attain mastery and control over the world. To achieve God's will of control and mastery over all the world, so that every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He had to go to the cross, and he had to die for our sins. And Satan offered him a wonderful express train to getting God's will done. He offered him the easy way out. He offered him a bypass around the pain. He offered him a loophole to get out of the tragedy that was confronting him. He offered him, truly, a way out. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to die for the sins of the world. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to do any of that. I'll give it all to you right now. All you have to do, Jesus, is worship me. I sometimes wonder if in that garden, the night that he was betrayed, when he wept tears of blood, I often wonder as Jesus prayed, "Let this cup pass from me." I often wonder, did his mind echo back to this temptation? When he was offered the easy way out to gain power over all the world, if all he would do was worship Satan. In that moment of temptation in the garden, when he said, "Let this cup pass from me," I wonder, did he remember this event? Did he remember this temptation here in the wilderness? And wonder, what if I had taken that offer? You see, my friends, we are faced with the same offer. We are faced with the same temptation. Not authority and power over all the world, but the temptation to get what we want most in this life, the temptation to get our will, our way, what we may believe God wants us to achieve. We are faced with the temptation of getting everything done now easily, if only we'll do it the world's way. If only we'll do it the way the world has laid out for us. If only we'll do it the sinner's way. If only we'll do it the easy way, we'll get it all. If only we'll compromise with the world's standards and the world's morals, we'll have it easy. That's the temptation we face. And the only price we have to pay for having it easy is worshiping Satan. Kind of makes a lump come up in your throat, doesn't it? We can have it easy, friends. If only we compromise the gospel, if only we compromise our faith, if only we turn and we say, okay, we'll get it all. If only we worship Satan. There are people, friends, in this town. There are people that most of us know who have gone and fallen to that temptation and given up a part of their life to the evil one. We all have idols, friends. You may say, "I don't have a statue to Zeus. I don't have a statue to Athena. I don't have an idol to Marduk in my living room. I don't worship idols." Are you sure that you're not worshiping other gods? When was the last time you gave up church, worship, study of Scripture, prayer, for an extra hour of sleep? Ooh, I'm stepping on toes. When was the last time you gave up worship and prayer and study of Scripture for an extra long night at the movies? When was the last time you gave up your morning prayer time for that extra sleep? I was last week, friends. Now that's a tiny little idol, but it's one that's real. When was the last time you bowed down to an idol of this world? You fell to the temptation to trust not in God's word, but in something else to have it easy. If we are honest with ourselves, in this Lenten season, we know that it wasn't very long ago. The temptation, this temptation, the second temptation, is such a powerful temptation because most of us, quite frankly, are lazy. We want to get through life easy. That's why it's a temptation. The first temptation is to trust in yourself and not in God. The second temptation is to trust in the world, in Satan, in the powers and forces of darkness, in the easy way and not God's way. What's God's way? Jesus confronted the second temptation the same way he confronted the first temptation. The first temptation, he said, he defeated it, he overcame it by quoting Scripture. He said, one does not live by bread alone. He confronted the temptation to create bread to feed his life by responding, there's more to life than bread. There's more to life than food. There's more to life than comfort. The second temptation, he quotes Scripture again. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. What other gods are we serving? Some of them may not appear to be gods to us. Family, country. Some of them may be gods to us, and may be obviously gods to us. Money, power, position. What gods are you serving today? This Lent, as we continue to prepare to recognize and experience our culpability in the death of Jesus on that cross, as we prepare to experience again our role in his death, let us recognize in our lives where the idols have crept up. The idols of money, the idols of family, the idols of country, the idols of work, the idols of entertainment, the idols of education, whatever they may be. Those masters that we place instead of God in the forefront of our lives, let us recognize who they are, what they are, and ask God for the grace we need to root them out. Jesus said, quoting Scripture, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and serve only him. Only him. That is our calling, and that is the way to defeat the second temptation. The first temptation is to trust in yourself and not in God. The second temptation is to trust in other things than God. Other people, other gods, in order to get through the life and the temptations easily. And we can defeat the second temptation the same way we can defeat the first, by realizing that God is our master, and we are called to serve only him and worship only him. And he gives us the grace we need to do that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.